In 1950, Martin Luther King spoke to a mass meeting at a Baptist church in Montgomery, Alabama, in the United States, and this is what he said. "You know, my friends, there comes a time when people get tired of being trampled by the iron feet of oppression. If we are wrong about this, then the Supreme Court of this nation is wrong. If we are wrong, the Constitution of the United States is wrong. And if we are wrong, God Almighty is wrong. If we are wrong, Jesus of Nazareth was merely a utopian dreamer that never came down to earth. If we are wrong, justice is a lie. Love has no meaning. And we are determined here in Montgomery to work and fight until justice runs down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream." That again was a quote from that reading from Amos, chapter 5, verse 14, wasn't it? 24. Now, Martin Luther King was referring to civic justice, especially with regard to colour segregation in the United States. In Amos, God is speaking to the children of Israel, both those in the Northern Kingdom and those in Judah, all the tribes which came out from Egypt with Moses, but particularly to the Northern Kingdom. They seem to be particularly bad. He explains that he is punishing them for their disobedience and for not acting justly, for instance, by oppressing the poor and for their selfish, extravagant opulence, their worldly lifestyle. And they should not wonder at their afflictions, because there would be no need for them if they had been obedient. So although they received many warnings, food shortages, drought, diseased crops, plague, these are all mentioned in the prophecy of Isaiah, of Amos, despite all that, they paid no heed. And on top of all their other sins, their worship was insincere and hypocritical, and they went after other gods, which was the worst sin of all. Their punishment will therefore be, will culminate in the captivity into Assyria, and that the terrible results from the attack of the Assyrians and their being taken captive was detailed in later in chapter 5 and chapter 6, all the terrible things that were going to happen. Yet God, in his great long suffering and patience, offered a way out. He said, "Seek me and live. Those who seek after perishing gods will perish with those gods. Those who seek the living God will live with him eternally." And he also said, "Seek good and not evil, that you may live." In particular, he expected a complete reformation of their behaviour, their attitudes, and their manners. When he said, "Let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream." And didn't Micah say something similar? He said, "What does the Lord require of you but to do justly and to walk humbly with your God?" I think many of us know that. And in Psalm 89, the psalmist says, "Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face." Now, have you thought what justice is? Can anyone recognise that? I trained for 6 years at Barts Hospital in the City of London, and that was across the road from a very important building with a dome, and on top of that dome was that golden statue of a lady with a set of scales in one hand and a sword in the other. Do you recognise it?
Yes.
Pardon?
No, it's not.
Well, so first of all, I want to know what the building is. It's the
Old Bailey,
or the Central Criminal Court of London. That's right, the Old Bailey. Lovely building. And what's the name of that statue?
Justice.
It's the statue of justice. I wonder whether she should be called Justice. Presumably, they think that's what goes on within the building, justice. And presumably the scales are to weigh up the evidence to decide whether someone's guilty or not, and the sword represents the ability to punish as appropriate. But so what goes on in that building is application of the law. But are the law and justice the same? Can you have unjust laws?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so they aren't the same, are they? So all laws are legal, by definition, but not all laws are just. What is the standard for justice? What is the standard? Is it the laws that countries make? Or is it what God says?
Just servants.
Isn't justice what God says? Doesn't he set the standards? God is a God of justice, immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes. In the second verse, his justice like mountains, high, soaring above all earthly justice. It's different. It's perfect, God's justice. Man's laws are only just when they agree with the absolute standard of God's laws. Now, until 1967... our laws in England and Wales, by and large, matched God's laws and were generally just. But since then, there's been an extraordinary reversal, brought about not by public support, but by small but powerful pressure groups, such as the LGBTQ lobby, which have no regard for God's laws at all. Let me give you some examples. In 1967, it was my last year at medical school, and in our ethics lectures, the thing that was drummed into us more than anything else was that we must never get involved with abortion. It's completely out of bounds. That had been the case since the beginning of time, almost. And then in 1967, Roy Jenkins was the Home Secretary, a whole raft of laws were changed. Abortion was largely decriminalised. At the same time, homosexuality was made much more acceptable to the population. The divorce laws were loosened. And then before long, we have the Sunday Trading Act. And then more recently, we've had the redefinition of marriage by law. So what was previously considered right in God's eyes is now considered wrong in the eyes of the nation. And things that were previously considered right are now considered wrong. There's a complete reversal. Now, we are called to be the voice of the poor and the powerless, seeking God's justice and his righteousness, promoting his standards in a world ruled by power and greed, and where their own rules are applied. And God reminds us that if God's people do not pursue justice, then our worship, our praise, our offerings are detestable. We are to hate evil and love good, and to maintain justice in the courts, his justice. Now, what relevant social concerns are there today? Well, these should include perhaps racial prejudice, abortion, certainly, sex trafficking, modern-day slavery, same-sex marriage, the sidelining of the family as the basic unit of our society, and persecution of Christians. But should we involve ourselves in all these concerns? Evangelical Christians have as their highest priority the proclamation of the gospel, of the offer of free salvation through repentance of sins and faith in Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. But we should also have a concern for social justice, if Amos's message is still relevant. Also, we're made in God's image. God is a God of justice, and so we should be too. But what can we do? Well, we see this injustice in the world, all these many injustices. Well, we can pray. We can speak out. We can sign petitions. Very easy these days, online. People are online, we're getting requests for signing petitions all the time. It couldn't be easier. We should support the various agencies fighting for justice. We should encourage those in the front line of seeking social justice. But as we speak about justice in the world, we should also speak clearly about the judge of the world. Now, we should be against all suffering, but particularly eternal suffering from rejecting God. Now, throughout history, God has raised up godly people to proclaim a message otherwise silenced by apathy and greed. The prophet Amos called the people of God to account in his day for their disregard and abuse of the powerless and the poor. And his words echo today. George Whitefield, in the 18th century, he founded an orphanage in Georgia, a big orphanage in Georgia, in America. William Wilberforce from Hull, and John Newton, they campaigned for the abolition of slavery, and they were successful. Think of Elizabeth Fry, who fought for prison reform in the early 19th century. Dr. Tom Bernardo in London, he founded homes for four children in the late 19th century. Charles Spurgeon, that prince of preachers in London in Victorian times, he embraced a wide range of social action, including an orphanage and even a clothing bank for women. Coming today, the Trussell Trust is a charity founded on Christian principles whose motto is Matthew 25, 35, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And they've set up a 400 strong network of food banks. And in last year, they gave in the UK well over 1 million 3-day emergency food supplies to people in crisis. Then we have the Coalition for Marriage, which is fighting for the recognition of traditional marriage, which is a cause worth supporting and encouraging. There's the Christian Institute. They send me alerts by email once a week telling me about the problems that are facing Christians in this country and around the world, so we know what to pray for, so we can be concerned too. They keep us appraised of injustice against Christians and their values. Now, last week, they alerted us to the fact that the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists had voted to totally decriminalise abortion, so it could be undertaken without any controls, really. And the president, a lady of the Royal College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, said an abortion shouldn't be considered any different than removing a bunion. Some justice for unborn babies. Now, God's people are more than a gathering of worshippers. We must reach out beyond ourselves and into all God's creation. God is concerned that his people live out their relationship with him in ways that bring righteousness and redemption to the world. It's God's will that we certainly share the gospel, but it's also his will that justice rolls on like a river and righteousness like a never-failing stream. Being the voice of the voiceless is God's call to his church. What will we do to be the voice of the voiceless? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, forgive us for our uncaring attitudes about injustice and unrighteousness in the world around us. Give us the willingness and courage to bring justice into your world. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.